Good. And all the time. He's in a good mood. And Brother John there pointed out that I should have dropped the I. Said, faith trumps in trouble. But faith triumphs in trouble. May we open in prayer. Father, we just come to you with hearts wide open, ready to receive from you, Lord, all that you have for us. Let everyone who's hungry, Lord God, leave out of here filled with your word, because it will not return void. In Jesus' name, amen. We thank you that his word will prosper. It will prosper in you, right? You're accomplished and you're prospering in him. How many of you know that you're blessed and not cursed? You're blessed in the city and you're blessed out here in the country. You're blessed coming and you're blessed going. God is not angry with you. Sometimes we get a little confused, you know, we think God is angry with us because we base it on our performance-based religion. If I'd only done this or I had not done that, God would not be angry with me. He is not angry with you. We need to align our thoughts and our attitudes with what his word says about us, because his word is true. And if our heart condemns us, he is greater than our heart. So we just come with expectation. I hope that you're placing what we like to call place a demand on the anointing. Draw it out. Because he's got a lot of stuff for us this morning. So, you know, when you get under the anointing, though, you don't know where it's going to go. Sometimes the notes just fall by the wayside. In fact, none of this was in the notes. So thank you, Holy Spirit. He is welcome. He is welcome to take over. This is his service. This is his workshop. As Nancy said, I do tend to get emotional. You know, I struggled with that as a young man. Boys don't supposed to cry. You don't want to be macho. I had three older brothers, you know. I want to be tough. And I'll tell you what, his word always chokes me up, though. And I used to struggle with that till I found a scripture that said that this is who he looks on, the man with a contrite heart who trembles at his word. Thank you, Lord. So I still struggle with it a little bit, but you know what? Let's just God be God and we'll be who he created us to be. Amen? Amen. Christianity is not a spectator sport. You're expected to be getting the game, to be engaged. We're all at different levels. We all have different roles, but you're supposed to be in the game. You're supposed to be engaged, not just sitting back as a spectator. We're to be actively participating in this, co-laboring with Holy Spirit. If it was just about relationship with God, I believe he'd have snatched us up as soon as we became born again. He left us here to do something, brother. He left us here to do something, brother. Sister, we're here. We have a role. We have a purpose. We have a destiny. How many of you know that, you know, in this life you're going to face troubles, trials, tribulations, temptations, tests, a lot of T's. But the T we want to focus on this morning's triumphs. Victorious, amen? For whom the Son is set free is free indeed. When you have a deed, what have you got? You've got a legal document that says you have rights to that. You have legal right to your freedom. It was for freedom that Jesus set us free. Amen? You know, some people may come in here and they just feel like the troubles, the world's pressing in on them. My mandate in my life, ever since I was a little boy, I remember, is to protect freedom. I always despised the bullies on the playground, on the school bus. In 4-H, I don't know if you have 4-H around here, I was a sergeant at arms. Go figure. Joined the army. Tank commander. My name, Kelly, means warrior. So I'm going to weave my testimony throughout this, but what I'd like for you to do is think about your testimony. Get it out. Polish it up. Use it. Because it's been said here, we overcame him, the devil, right? By the blood of the Lamb and the word are your testimony. Testimony is a very powerful thing. You know, people argue and fight over written scripture. But how can you argue and fight with somebody who's got a testimony? And the beautiful thing about a testimony is it's saying, in the Hebrew mindset, it's saying, do it again. Do it again, Lord. You did it for me. Do it again, not only for me, but for Nancy Ray. Do it again for her. Do it in her life. Amen? You know, some of you may feel like you're coming in here hexed, vexed, and perplexed. But the Son is setting you free. You know, Nancy asked us yesterday, he goes, what do you want to see out of this conference? And just as quick as that, it said, seeing the captive set free. You know, I have a connection to Georgia. I've lived here before. I'm from West Virginia. I was the youngest boy out of four boys. There were six kids. I have a little sister. I was in the Army, and I was stationed at Fort Stewart when Desert Storm happened. But actually, I was in Georgia before that. I was right here at Fort Gordon. I was in the hospital there. Faith triumphs in trouble. I was in trouble. I went through a divorce. Started drinking a little bit more than I should have. And I went to my command and I said, I was a recruiter, I was an Army recruiter in New Orleans at the time. I said, I need help. So the only rehab program the Army has is right here at Fort Gordon. So I had to go to Fort Polk, Louisiana for 3 weeks waiting for a seat to open up here to go through their 6 week program. So I have a connection to this area. I'm sorry? and they put you in what they call the psych ward up there because it's the only place they had to put you. And you'd see these folks, and we called it the Thorazine shuffle. You know, you see them growing like ducks in a row. They just shuffling around up there. So, am I right? All right. Let's get into it, shall we? Maybe. Maybe it went to sleep. I think it did go to sleep on us. You love technology. Sometimes I don't know if we're liberated by it or we're held captive by it. So it froze up on us. So while it's rebooting, you just have to trust me when we read the scripture. But out of Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Verse 3, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Of course, it decides it needs to reboot now. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. You know, not everything in the Bible is about us, but it's for us. In Jeremiah, he's talking about Jeremiah. He had sanctified Jeremiah and he had ordained him. You know what? You're sanctified and you're ordained to do something as well. Before he formed you in the womb, he had a plan for you. He did. Had a plan for each and every one of us. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. How many of you are Spirit-led today? You know, no matter what you're going through, we need to be led by the Spirit of God. Amen? No matter what trial, tribulation, trouble you're facing, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Who in here is loved by God and called according to His purpose? Guess what? You're all called. You're all in ministry. He gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. We all have ministry here to do. But I believe that's why we're still here. You know, what's her name? Can't remember right now. It's a Blessings in Disguise song. about blessings. You ever heard that one? Lower story. That's it. You know, aren't we quick to judge the circumstance, the situation we're in? Oh, God, did you leave me? What happened? Did I miss it? You know, we're very quick to judge our situation. For as many as are led by His Spirit. We're to be Spirit-led. We're not so quick to judge our circumstance or situation, our trial, our tribulation. And you know, I love this. I'm such a perfectionist, and it's just another way to humble me. Isn't it? Tell you a little story about me while we're hopefully going through this. I was painfully shy as a child. I mean, I almost didn't graduate high school because of my shyness. Senior in high school, had to have a chemistry class to graduate. Part of your project in your chemistry is you had to do an oral presentation in front of the class. I wasn't doing it. I refused to do it. Wasn't going to happen. I was not going to get up in front of a bunch of people. So I got an incomplete. That incomplete was going to turn to an F, and I needed chemistry to graduate high school. So, you know, 3 weeks later, what would have probably been an A, I ended up getting a C on it, but I got up there, and it was just, I mean, folks, I didn't like it at all. I'm here to tell you. Your past does not dictate your future. He is transforming us from glory to glory. Amen. This is the group here that wants more from God. I can tell you're here. You know, maybe some of you had to even call off work, you know, take off work to be here. Get up early to come out. So you're hungry. You're thirsty for the things of God. And God sees that. I'm talking with my dear brother, pastor there, on the way over this morning. If God can get it through you, if He can get it through you, He's going to get it to you. That will be, and it could be a financial resource. It could be a word of knowledge, a prophetic word, a blessing, an act of service. If He can get it through you, He's going to get it to you. You cannot outgive God. So if you're obedient in the small, again, whether it be financial or some word that He's given you, oh, I'm afraid to talk to Darla. You know, let's go tell her. You know, but if you're faithful now, you know what? Now He's going to give you a couple more words, three more. You know. If you're faithful in those things. So I'm just encouraging us all to be faithful here this morning. We might almost be back in business here. Let's see. Hallelujah. Well, that's the scripture we read. Get to testimony. Why is testimony so important? And we already talked about that. It's your testimony. No one can take that from you. And we don't have a clock in here, so somebody's going to have to keep me honest here. I could go all day. So, again, I said, you have your own testimony. Get it out. Brush it off. Clean it up. Polish it up. Start giving it. Start sharing it. You don't know who you're going to bless with it. So I was born in 1961, so this was taken on lost pavement in Parkersburg, West Virginia. I wasn't even quite a year old yet. It's significant that I was born and raised on lost pavement. I was lost. Hard to believe that little boy, 4 years later, was smoking his first cigarette at the age of 5. Said I had 3 older brothers. Older brothers are good for a lot of things. And the showing you the way you should not go is one of them. My oldest brother would have been 16. He had done, let's just say, he had did a 5-finger discount on some cigarettes. So my brother that was 11 got into them, and he's out smoking them. And so my brother who's 8 and I who was 5 found him. And so in order that we wouldn't tell on him, he made us smoke them with him. So, you know, the fire, you're probably not inhaling, but I'm puffing on this cigarette at 5. You know, my father, before he got saved, he was an alcoholic. And I know that that can't be true, but it seemed like the only fond memories I have is when we're going on hunting trips and he'd pass the bottle around. You know, we're driving a car and he'd give you a little snort. By the age of 10, I was getting drunk on a regular basis. That brother was 6 years older than me. He was 16. He looked like he was 21. He'd go and buy beer for us. And by 13, I was getting high on marijuana, smoking weed on a very regular basis. By the time I was 15, I did not go to high school one day that I was not stoned out of my mind. You know, you get up here, you hear Nancy's testimony and how God's always visiting her. And she's saying, I saw into the spirit realm one time in my life. And that's why I'm here today. We were partying in a house, an old farmhouse. For the first time and only time in my life, I saw into the spirit realm. And I could see the demonic powers, the forces at work influencing my so-called friends at the time. And it was my judgment day. And I'd been judged. I'd been measured and weighed and came up wanting. And I was going to hell, and I knew it. I said, Lord, just give me one more chance. Just give me one more chance, God. Because Mom raised us in the Church of Christ. She'd drag us every Sunday, you know, so I knew the way that I should go. So you give me another chance, and I will go that way. I will go that path. That house where I got born again. And I said it that way on purpose. Bob Jones, born again. Hope, heal. In the natural, I was on lost payment. But in the spirit, I was on hope, heal. Amen. I said it's part of my testimony. You have another testimony. Dig it out. Polish it up. God is so faithful. God is so good. So I was so on fire for the Lord that I went to a Bible college in Lubbock, Texas, 1980. That's Church of Christ. A little conflicted, though, because, you know, Church of Christ, I don't even believe in instrumental music, let alone speaking in tongues, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So I was a little conflicted because I was so hungry for God. 6 months later, I was... after I got saved, I was dating this girl, and her family was spirit-filled. So I said, oh, I don't know. Well, they took me to a revival meeting. That's what it was. And they started speaking in tongues, and people were getting slain in the spirit. I could not find that exit fast enough. I said, what is this? But, you know, it was a long way from home, and I had ridden with them, so I was just stuck. So I had the whole weekend to ponder that, and so that was a Friday night. So Monday, I go over to the house and say, okay, well, I don't know what that was, but if it's of God, I want it. So I got baptized right there on the spot, filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. But I went to Church of Christ Bible College, you know, so there's a little conflict there. You know, so I had some struggles even that. I was going to be a missionary, and you know what? I couldn't in good conscience go out into the mission field teaching the way they wanted me to teach. So, you know, the enemy, seizing that opportunity, kind of starts kind of weave his way in, you know. More trials, tests, trials, tribulations. Oh, I got a couple more pictures here just for fun. Told you, always been a protector of freedom. So it was at Fort Stewart. After I got out of Fort Gordon, I went back to New Orleans, and my first duty station, you know, just a month or two after that, was Fort Stewart, Georgia. Hadn't been there a month. And, you know, Saddam invades Kuwait. So off we go, because that's a rapid deployment force. So, you know, I'm over in Saudi Arabia in no time. See the name of my tank there? Can you read that? I named that. Cantankerous. You know, I didn't walk away from the Lord, but I wasn't really faithful either, you know. I mean, I had a faith and a belief, but I really wasn't walking, serving the Lord at this time in my life. More trials, more tribulations. Most of you know that lovely woman. That's Dee's baby sister. My wife, Mary Beth. She does send her love. I know you all miss her too. Really, just a new trajectory, a new course. Lord put me on. He makes our way straight. You know, His word is a light unto our feet. I told you my name means warrior. We're in Ketchikan. This is the first time I went, not last year, but in 2015. So somebody let me use their little drum there, and it says Warrior Princess. This little drum I'm beating on. You know, God is not a respecter of persons. There's neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek, you know. So I can be a warrior princess if he wants me to be one. So we're just having a little fun here, right? We can have a little fun. We can laugh and cry. All right, so let's get into some definitions. We're here to learn about faith triumphs in trouble. Trouble can be defined as a difficulty or problems, public unrest, or disorder. So how many of us have went through some difficulties, some problems in life, some trials, some tribulations, or trouble can just be a disorder? Anyone ever had disorder in their life? In our home, that's not allowed. Chaos cannot come in. When chaos tries to come in our home, we kick it out. It ain't allowed in our house. Some synonyms would be tribulation, disturbance, disorder, unrest, breach of peace. Anyone ever had a breach of peace? We invite the Prince of Peace. Lord Jesus, we invite you right now, Prince of Peace, into our troubles, into our trials, into our tribulations. Amen. There's something about declaring His word. There's something about declaring His word. Not just chanting it like some mantra like Eastern religions do, but letting your faith come in connection with that word. And you own that word. It's a rhema word. It's like a testimony. They can't take they can't steal the rhema word from you. Once you have revelation of that word, the first rhema word I ever had was, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. At 16, when I was born again, that's the scripture I first had a rhema word on. And I have stood on that ever since. I've added others, but that was my first one. Because, you know, people love talking about heaven, and I love hearing about heaven. I'm not trying to take heaven from you. But, dear Jesus, I was trying to make it through today. I'm trying to make it through today, you know. I am trying to triumph in my troubles. So that was the first word that I ever had revelation of. As far as a scriptural reference for that, John 16:33 says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will, not maybe, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. How many of you will agree with that word? All right, so we're talking about faith triumphs in trouble. So we talked about trouble, define that a little bit. Let's define faith a little bit. It's a high degree of trust or confidence in something or someone. Some synonyms would be trust, belief, confidence, conviction, optimism, hopefulness, hope. You already heard this one. I know you know that. In the Bible, it defines faith this way. In Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith has a substance. There is an evidence to your faith. You don't need faith for things you already have. You're faithing for the things you don't yet see yet. There's still a substance. There's still an evidence of your faith. Because you're standing one on His word, you're believing it, you're trusting Him. You've put your confidence in His word, that what His word says about you and your situation is true. God is a man, is not a man that He can lie. His word is true. It shall not return void. It will accomplish the things for which He sent it, and it will prosper in the thing for which He sent it. How many of you in here are accomplished? Are you accomplished, brother? Are you prospering? Amen? Amen. Triumph. Definition. A complete victory or success achieved especially after great difficulties, making the result particularly satisfying. I like that. Particularly satisfying. a complete victory, especially after a great difficulty, especially after a great trouble. You know, there's different levels of success, and you've had something, you know what, I'm going to tell you, that even in this room, and that's not the purpose of workshops, is to deliver people, but I'll tell you what, I don't care what's happened before. I don't care how long you've been wrestling with something. It could be all your adult life. It could be since your childhood. Guess what? It is never too late to have a happy childhood. It is never too late to have a happy childhood. Amen? He is breaking things off people. Just because it's failed 100 times before, you know what? You don't lose until you quit. You get back up. You get back up, John Kevin. Amen? You get back up. And you keep believing, you keep trusting, you keep having confidence in Him. Our faith is not in us, folks, and in our ability. Our faith is in Christ, in Him alone. And guess what? He turns around and says, you know what, brother, sisters? I have faith in you. Me in you. Yeah, when you're weak, especially when your flesh is weak, you're under some physical attack, you're actually strong in Him. And He's strong in you. Scriptural reference for triumph, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. You know, there are just certain Christians you meet that just have a fragrance, an aroma, a presence. You can just see the presence of God, presence of the Holy Spirit on them. It's a sweet fragrance. He leads us in triumph. He always leads us in triumph. Not sometimes. He always, every single time, leads us in triumph. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who have been called according to His purpose. If it's not good yet, it's just not the end. Maybe you're still in the middle. You just haven't crossed over yet. But it's going to get good. It's going to get mo' better, they said down in New Orleans. Mo' better. It's going to get mo' better, folks. You just stick with it. Because it's going to work out for the good. His word says so. His word will not return void. Amen? How are we doing on time? So you're going to get a lot of information here. You're going to get a lot of information from Nancy's sessions tonight. You're going to get a lot of information from workshops. Let's just talk about how our intent of information. It's not just for you to get knowledge that you can get all puffed up in the head, say, well, I know this. The intent of the information is that you would get revelation of that word. It would be revealed to not only your mind, but your spirit man would come in connection with that word, that your spirit connects with Holy Spirit. And then it leads you to a transformation, that you're no longer just a hearer of the word, but you're a doer. Information leads to revelation, which leads to transformation. He is transforming us from glory to glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Oh, God, you're so good. Here's a little equation that maybe you can take away and help. So we're just... again, we're giving you knowledge not to just puff you up, but the ultimate goal is that you will lead to your transformation. E plus R equals O. E stands for an event. Plus response equals outcome. You know, there's two people. You could both be in the car, and there could be something happen. You and, let's say, your significant other, and you have two different outcomes. What's the variable, if you remember your algebra, what's the variable in that equation? Your response. How you respond is the variable. You want a different outcome? Maybe you need a different response to your situation. Maybe you need a different response to your trouble. Maybe you need a different tactic. Another T. If what you're doing is not working, take a step back, you know. God, am I being led by your spirit in this situation? Because just because you're going through a trouble doesn't mean it's, you know, You're not getting tested. You're not getting proven a little bit. But maybe you missed it. Sometimes we do miss it. Take a step back there. Maybe I need to respond. And a lot of times your response is just a different way of looking at your situation. Being delivered of a mindset. Maybe a memory. An old tape. Something bad happened to you as a little kid. I have a lot of tapes from when I was abused as a child. And it was revealed to me at Fort Gordon. And I had forgotten it. It happened to me when I was 4 years old. And I had repressed it until it was there. And God had to do a deliverance work on that. So I could continue to have a relationship with this person. Because there's somebody in my life that, I mean, I'm just forced to have a relationship with him. But it was something that should never have happened. And it was not of God. It was definitely of the enemy. It was definitely of the thief. So we have the reactive model. You had a stimulus, something happens, some external thing is happening, some event, and you respond. How many of you are, and we all have been guilty of it, how many of you have that reactionary model? It happens, you react. Happens, you react. Knee-jerk reaction, they call it. There is another option, folks. There's what they call the proactive model. You have the stimulus, you have the event, you have the occurrence, you have the trouble, since we're talking about trouble, and you have the freedom to choose how you're going to respond. So if you kick in not just even your brain filter, but your spirit filter, since we're spirit-filled Christians here, filter through your spirit. The Holy Spirit bears witness to your spirit. Filter through your spirit that's in communion, connection with Holy Spirit. Then respond. Respond according to what the Spirit of the living God is leading you to do. What do you want me to do in this situation? Do I need to retreat? Do I need to back up? Maybe I need to press forward. Maybe I just need to stand still. Just be led. If there's one thing you take from this workshop, be led by the Spirit of God. How to react in a time of a trial, a test, a trouble. Oh, one of my favorite scriptures when I teach on this one. Count it all joy. James 1, 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let the patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. How many of us in here, and you can raise your hand, how many of you want to lack nothing? Good show of hands. But you got to do these other things. You know, the thing about a testimony is we all want the money. We just don't want to go through the test. We want the money without the test. But, you know, they're hand in glove. You don't get the money until you go through the test. Then you get the testimony. Amen? But let patience have its perfect word. Be patient. Listen from the Holy Spirit. How should I respond, Holy Spirit? And that word perfect just means fully mature. Translated into Greek, that just means you're fully mature. You're grown up. You're no longer a child tossed to and fro. We've seen this before. We've been to this rodeo. This is not our first one. We're going to be patient. We're going to wait on you, Lord. We're going to wait on the Holy Spirit to tell us how to respond to our trouble, our situation. We're talking about how to triumph, how to be victorious. And I think I skipped over this when I was having computer problems. We're talking about faith triumphs. So you don't need the faith for something you already have. But how do you get faith? How does faith come? Hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. So you're hearing the Word of God here. So I just know just from that fact and His Word will not return void. Your faith is going to be increased just by you hearing His Word here today. And I don't care if you've heard it 100 times, you know, maybe that's the time, bam, the light goes on. You get a fresh revelation, a deeper revelation. How many of you had a word and you understood it, right? But you know what? The Lord took it deeper. Holy Spirit took it deeper and you had a deeper understanding. And you thought, man, this is great. And then, you know what? Maybe a few years later, even a deeper revelation of His Word. His Word is such a rich treasure. And it can be even that same verse that you've memorized. And it can just go deeper and deeper and deeper. Just let Him take you deep into His Word. Fiery trials. 1 Peter 4:12 and 13. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. I mean, let's be honest. How many of us count it all joy? Oh, here it comes again. Here it comes again. How do we count it all joy? That we may be glad with exceeding joy. The joy of the Lord, finish it. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Our strength, the key to victory is to have joy during that fiery trial, during that test, during that trouble. You know what? I'm going to stop looking with my natural eyes, Lord, on my situation. I'm going to see it the way you see it. I'm going to see my situation. It's a very temporary thing. Amen? I'm going to put my spiritual eyes on and discern it with my spirit that's in connection with Holy Spirit. And then your joy, you can have the exceeding joy there. And just so you know, see if I wrote this down. It wasn't in my original notes. First Corinthians 10:13 talks about providing us a way of escape. You know, nothing more is going to come on you than you can't handle. The Lord's going to give you a way of escape. So when you're getting tested, try, don't think that there's no way of escape. And your way of escape is generally just stepping back and looking with Holy Spirit eyes, spiritual eyes, discerning your situation from that context, from that point of, in the business world, we like to call it a lens. I'm an HR professional. I'm a bivocation. I'm an HR manager for Pactiv. It's the world's largest manufacturer of food packaging products. You actually have a facility in Beach Island. I was just here last fall doing an investigation over in Beach Island at the plant there. Talk about putting a lens, just getting a different lens, a different perspective, a different focus on the situation sometimes. You know, Chuck Swindoll has a great story about attitude and a little, almost like a poem thing he's written, but that's the one string we control, you know, about our attitude. We control our attitude. A lot of times we don't control our situation and what's happening to us, but we control our attitude and how we respond to that. We need to align our thoughts and our attitudes with the Word of God. Have you ever experienced this, and if you've been driving for a little while, I suspect you have. Your car comes out of alignment. Your wheels are out of alignment. There's two major issues, and sometimes it's so bad that it starts pulling you off course, doesn't it? Your car's so out of alignment, you can physically feel it pulling you into the ditch. That's not good. Now let's apply that to spiritually. Spiritually, when you're not aligned properly, you're not aligned with God's word and what he says about you. You start getting pulled into a ditch. There's another problem with being out of alignment. Premature wear and tear on your tires. They will wear out needlessly, prematurely. Spiritually, when you're out of alignment, you're just getting worn out. I'm just worn out. I'm tired. Maybe I'm just not in alignment. Lord, let's do a check. Let's do a check. Maybe get in alignment. Get in your prayer closet, whatever you need, just a little time with the Lord, and get a spiritual alignment. And you know what? I'm looking at this trial with my natural eyes. My kids are misbehaving for the 100th time. Lord, I love them, and I know that you love them, and they're not walking with you, though. What are we saying? What are we declaring? What are we proclaiming over them? My son, Brian, you know, our relationship's strained. They call it estranged. The past couple, 3 years, I only maybe talk to him on the phone once or twice a year. You know, I try to reach out to him, and there's just no communication back. So I started to stand on your word, Lord. And so last couple services at church, you know, we got the board, and we put him up and wrote on it, and I just start calling him into the kingdom, calling him back to Father, calling him back to Heavenly Father. Because he's born again. He knows the Lord. He's been filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. Yet he's following the way of the world. He's down at the hog trough right now. And I also called him back to Earthly Father. A week had not even passed, and he calls me up. Well, actually texts me first. No, he did call me. His word will not turn void. So that's relationships being reestablished here. All because I stood on his word. I got back into alignment. I stopped speaking cursings over him. And I started speaking blessings. I started standing on God's word that will not return void. It will accomplish what he sent it to do. And it's going to prosper in the thing for which he sent it. Isaiah 55:11, look it up. Now let me read it to you. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return void. It shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. I love the word shall. Removes all doubt. There's no ambiguity. There's no uncertainty. There's nothing that's unclear about that. It shall happen. And we can stand on that. All right. I don't remember changing that. I guess the glory of the Lord did. We already did fiery trials. Yeah, we did. Glory revealed. Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You know, and I don't really think this necessarily means to wait to heaven. I think his glory can be revealed in us right now. In the trial that we're going through. I'm not trying to take heaven from you. I believe in heaven. I think it's awesome. It's going to be wonderful. I'm just trying to get through today, brothers and sisters. I am trying to have a victory, a triumph in my trouble today. Love it. You're just going to have to trust me on the rest of it. It froze up again, and we're not going full with it. Just want to throw that thing in the river. Baptize it. Next one is was going to talk about is fear. Fear. False evidence appearing real. Fear, false evidence appearing real. It's not real. It's a lie of the enemy. He's trying to get us fearful. He did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We're operating with love and a sound mind. Amen. The weapons of our warfare, according to 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 4, and let's read this out, the Amplified. I love the Amplified when it comes to Bible study. What's that? It's louder. Good point. For though we walk, live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. You know, just mindset sometimes, just thinking the way we're thinking about our situation, our trial, our tribulation, our test, can turn into a toehold, a finger hold of the enemy. And if we're not careful, you know, it can become a stronghold if we keep dwelling on that. What are we meditating on? We meditate on things that are lovely, pure, good, of good report, praiseworthy? Or are we meditating on our trouble? If your trouble is a pink elephant, I say, don't think about a pink elephant. What's the first thing you think about? A pink elephant. If your victory, your triumph is a blue elephant, and I say, think about a blue elephant. See, just subtle little things, saints. Just what are we focused on? Are we focused on our trial? Is our eyes on that? Are we going to fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith? I'm going to climb that tree, and I'm going to fix my eyes on Jesus. If I got to climb a tree to get over my trouble, my situation, so I can get a different perspective, then let's climb a tree if we need to get a different perspective. we will see Jesus. We will see Jesus. We need to focus on him now. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. The thief is illegitimate. He does not have legal rights to your stuff, to your peace, your joy, your children, your finances. He's a thief. He's illegitimate. He does not have rights to these things that are given to you by God. Your children are inheritance from the Lord. He cannot steal your inheritance. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the inheritance for you, his children. His weapon should not be prospering against us. They're illegitimate. He's lying. He's presenting false evidence. Let's focus on Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. When I was in Desert Storm, they did not put tanks on the back, in the rear. They are not rear echelon forces. They put tanks on the front line. This is a shell casing from an AK-47. This Iraqi soldier meant me harm. The bullet, the projectile is no longer in there, but he meant me harm with this. The enemy meant to do me mortal harm. He wanted to take me out. He wanted to steal from me. He wanted to kill me. He wanted to utterly destroy me. I used to think that's in the wrong sequence. Steal, kill. Well, what's worse than kill? Destroy. Destroy should come before. No. The Holy Spirit revealed it to me. He wants to steal from you, take things from you. He wants to kill you, but he wants to utterly destroy your heritage, your legacy. He wants to take it out, not just you, but your inheritance, your children. Your children, he wants to take them out as well. That's what's worse than killing you. Well, this enemy wanted to physically send me home to be with Jesus. Patton said the object of war is not to die for your country, but to get that guy to die for his. So pretty intimidating, you know, 7.62 millimeter. AK-47, pretty threatening. Could definitely take you out, but you know, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God. The overthrow and the destruction of strongholds. In comparison, this is the weapons of my God. Compared to that little 7.62, this is a 105 millimeter main gun round from an M1 Abrams tank. And actually, they gave us new tanks when I was over there. It was an M1 A1, so it was a 120 millimeter smoothbore. But they don't have shell casings for those. Those are combustible and they go downrange with the projectile. But this is a good comparison, isn't it? When you think about what the enemy's coming with us, he's biting, he's nipping at our heels. He might bruise our heel, but you know what? We're going to utterly destroy him and crush him and destroy any stronghold that he may bring against us, because that's our inheritance from the Lord. Amen? And it's not just for us, but it's ours. All those we have influence over, our children, our family members, our loved ones, those our co-workers, anywhere you have sphere of influence, he is an illegitimate, he's a trespasser. He's trying to take them out by hook or crook. People love that. I think I kind of like it too, though. How are we doing on time? There's no clock in here, so that's good and bad. Preachers, you know, we can just keep going if you're not careful. Talking about some weapons. So let's just get into some of our weapons real quick. We'll wrap up with that. James 5:16 out of the New Living Translation. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Our powers have prayer. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Most of us know it that way. Produces wonderful results. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Jude 20 says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, pray in the Holy Spirit. We're talking about faith, triumphs, and trouble. You need more faith. You need to hear the Word of God. And you need to build yourself up by praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. If you don't pray in the Spirit, it's not the purpose of this workshop to help you get there. But I'll tell you what, you come back tonight, and I'm sure Nancy or I or other Point to Hope team members will help you get there. But you come back tonight if you're not praying in the Spirit, and we'll certainly help you with that. But you need to be praying in the Holy Spirit, building yourself up in your most holy faith. Faith triumphs in trouble. Luke 11:2 says, disciples came to Jesus, and they wanted to know how to pray. And he said, so he said to them, when you pray, say. And you know the rest of it, but I just wanted to get to the say part. When you're praying, you ought to be saying something. You ought to be making some declaration, folks. There ought to be something coming out of your mouth. Amen? When you pray, say. And then say what Holy Spirit has led you to say. Make declaration of His Word. There's nothing wrong. In fact, it's very good to pray His Word. Get His Word out and make declaration over it. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up against me in judgment, I shall condemn. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am blessed and not cursed. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. You can start praying His Word if you don't have anything else to pray, which is a very good place. Pray with belief. Mark 11:22 says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So it's not just saying because you read it out of a book. It's not some Eastern religion, Jesus, 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 and you say it enough times. But if you say it with conviction, you say it with heartfelt belief, your spirit connecting to that, you say it with brief. So when you're saying it and you believe it, you will have it. And you're praying according to His Word at that point. Call things. I love this one. Romans 4:17. God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. We're not denying the trouble. We're not denying the tribulation. We're just calling things that don't exist as though they did. We're not denying that you have a diagnosis of cancer. What we're doing is we're making declarations. We're calling forth total and complete restoration and healing. Lazarus, come forth. We're making declarations. We're calling those things that do not exist as though they did. We're created in His image, folks, in His likeness. How did He create everything we see? He spoke it. We need to start calling some things out. We need to call. In business, you know, we look at the current state, and then we graph out future state, and we make a plan toward that. We're not denying current state. We're just calling forth future state. And we're calling it forth by the Word of God. And that situation, that trouble, is going to come into alignment with Your Word, Lord. And we're making declaration of that. So when you pray, say, and say it with belief, and call things that do not exist, He's talking about dead things, Abraham's body. He's going to be the father of many nations. Woo, help us, Lord. We did a similar teaching in our church, and we went through this. And so when you go through a trial, we got, you know, a few do's and don'ts, and I picked out some choice ones that our group came up with at New Heart Ministries. But don't worry. Do have faith. Don't despair, do remain hopeful. Don't quit, do pray. Don't complain, do praise. Don't blame, do trust. Don't run, do count it all joy. Don't hide, do be confident. Don't act defeated, do surrender to the Lord. Don't self-medicate, do laugh. More, but those were some of the best ones. You know, laughter is a good medicine. Jesus is good medicine. He is the best medicine. Amen. Ever heard this term, carpe diem? Seize the day, seize the moments. Literally, I mean, that's why we usually hear it, seize the day. It literally means pluck the day. Pluck the day. We're calling things that do not exist as though they did. We're plucking it from the enemy's claws, the thief's claws, because he's illegitimate. He doesn't have legal rights to it, so we're plucking it from him. We are seizing the day. We are making the most of each and every opportunity. Folks, we don't know how long we've got on this planet. We're here for a reason. We're here for a purpose. We all have a destiny and a whole purpose. He's, even before he formed us in the womb, he knew us. He sanctified us. He's ordained us to do something. He set us apart. Amen. We need to make the most of each day, regardless of our circumstance. Regardless of our trouble, we need to be making the most of our circumstance, our situation. My father went home to be with Jesus. He did later in his life, about 15 years before his passing, which is another strong testimony. In fact, you want me to tell you? You know, my mother, had been trying to lead him to the Lord since they probably got married, you know, when they were 19. He's well into his 60s. He still has not come to Jesus. I was going to church, Praise Church out in Colorado. And I got a hold of this declaration and calling things that do not exist as though they did. And I started praying and declaring my father into the kingdom. Weeks, short weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, I'm getting a report. Your father got saved. He came to the Lord. Folks, there is power in this. Am I taking credit for it? The only thing I'm taking credit for is obedient to the Holy Spirit. I know others have been praying for him. If it be your will. It is his will. Make declaration. Bold declaration. Make bold declaration. Be confident in his word. That it will come true. That it will not return void. So that worked pretty well, so I'm going to do it with my brother that's 3 years older than me. Same result. His word shall not return void. Amen? Make declaration. So Dad, at his passing, he had written a letter many years before for his children to open, you know, to read. And part of what he said in there is, in death there is little value to leave behind except kind words and deeds. This phrase sums it up. One kind word said to the living is worth more than 1 million tears over the grave. Seize the day. Make the most of opportunity. Pluck it if you need to. Pick it. Enjoy it. It's fruit. It has value. Even in your trial, your tribulation, there is value. Make the most of that opportunity. Don't grumble and complain. Woe is me. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. And they, whoa! Y'all remember that Hee-Haw song. We need to stop singing that song. We need to sing the song, I am blessed. I am the King's kid. We sing his praises. I tell you what, there's nothing, if I could have a personal testimony, there's nothing like getting just praising and worshiping him, especially in those times when you're feeling it. You're feeling the oppression. Just start praising him. Praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him. It's amazing how quickly that just leaves you. You've got your focus now on Jesus. Peace and confidence from John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may know. So that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulations and trials and distress and frustrations. Anybody ever been frustrated? This is how they amplified. But be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, undaunted. For I have overcome the world. And catch this. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Amen. I'm going to stand on that word. I'm going to claim that word for me and mine. Amen. I'm going to claim that word for you here today. Amen. Are you going to receive it, though? That's the only catch is, you know, it's not by works, but you have to accept his word. You have to take ownership of it. John 10:10 out of the Amplified. The thief comes only in order to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have and enjoy and have in abundance to the full till it overflows. Life that overflows, abundant life. Hallelujah. Enjoy life. Wrapping up, Mary, when Mary, the angel came to Mary and told her what was going to happen. She was going to give birth to the Savior of the world. A virgin birth, nonetheless. Can you imagine what was going through her mind? But, folks, I encourage us all to have the response of Mary when she got the word of the Lord. If you want to look it up, it's Luke 1:38. And she said, "Let it be unto me according to your word." Lord, let it be unto me. Let it be unto us. Everything you've said, everything that's been shared out of your word today, let it be unto us according to your word. Regardless of that trial, that tribulation, that situation, Lord God, let it be unto me. Let it be unto us according to your word. Amen. Make that declaration. Stand on that word. That's an awesome response. That's the way we should respond. You know what? I don't feel joyous. I don't feel like I'm more than a conqueror, but you know what? Let it be unto me according to your word. And David was being distressed. He had some troubles. He's hiding out in a cave. He said, "Bless the Lord, oh my soul." Sometimes we just got to tell our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions, "Bless the Lord, oh my soul." Your circumstance may never want you to do that. But we're not led by our circumstance. We're not led by our feelings. We're led by His Spirit. So wrapping up, summation, your faith, your high degree of trust and confidence in Jesus Christ has triumphed, giving you complete victory in times of trouble, tribulation, and difficulty. Amen? Do you receive that word? I have a little something. Remember this by? I mean, it's just a little marble, but it's something small enough. It's not quite a mustard seed. A mustard seed wouldn't hang up. Hold up to maybe if you want to carry this in your pocket. Just something to get a hold of this so you can remember back to the Lord's words here today. You know, when you set that somewhere, you have it in your pocket and you pull it out, you know what? Let it be unto me according to what Pastor Kelly was telling me. Let it be unto me according to your word, Lord God. Just a little reminder, something if you want one. You know, I'm going to pass this around if you want to take one. And we do want to open it up for questions as well if anybody has any questions or even comments.